Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA!
This is the beautiful game.
Oh, it's incredible!
Described by two uglies.
Stupendous!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
This is a thing of genius.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
It is another world edition of Bone and Beam United. Tons of world soccer to get into. We will, of course, do Black and Golden Crew stuff next week on the podcast. So lots to get to today. We've got plenty of World Cup qualifiers. We will talk about USA and Mexico. We've got tons of thoughts there. A very wealthy team is trying to do a very stupid thing. So we've got that. And what else, Beamer? What was the other thing that we were talking about doing with the thinking Champions League? There was a little bit of resetting of that we'll get into.
A little bit of resetting with that.
Yeah, right.
Round of eight. Manchester United go falling out, so that's good.
And
that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah. And we may or may not point and laugh at Italy. But first, let's talk about Mexico and the U.S. men's national team. 0-0.
Dragon today because of that game.
Oh, yeah. You stayed up for the whole thing. I watched the first half and then went to bed and then woke up and caught the rest of it. But either way, that's tough for you because you just did a 3-hour morning show after all that.
So it's really not too bad. Went to bed last night probably around 12 midnight-ish and then fell asleep probably 12:15. So I have 3 hours and 45 minutes of sleep. It's not too bad. Doing the show and coming in here and getting to talk to you. It's really the alarm clock, the drive into work. Once you get in and the lights are on, that's fine. And then going back home afterwards and sitting my fat ass on the couch, like then the drag starts to happen.
Right. Yeah. And that's good though. It's because it's Friday.
Right.
That's when you want it to happen.
If it was a Tuesday, no chance.
This would be bad. This would be bad. But you're okay now. They did us a favor, at least in that regard. All right. So Mexico, USA, 0-0 at Estadio Azteca. Let's just set the scene.
Uh-huh.
Because number one, I'm watching this game and my wife, we're both sitting there watching it.
My wife,
she looks at me and says, why is this stadium not full? I thought this was USA Mexico. It's a big deal. And I said, yeah, I'm not sure if this is COVID related or something else. And then I checked it and I had forgotten about the fact they have their issues.
Some sanctions.
Yep, the homophobic chants that have happened in Mexico soccer for many years. Those have been sanctioned, and as such, they limit capacity now to just, 50% is what they did.
Still a rather large stadium.
Yeah. They have also, it's kind of one of those things, too, where they hinted at it on the broadcast, but used to be Estadio Azteca was 100,000+, and you never really knew how many people were there, but it was way over 100,000. And now they're saying, well, it's probably closer when full to 80,000 because of all the corporate loges and different renovations they've done.
That Coca-Cola suite looks awesome.
It
last
does.
Night.
It looks like a place to watch. That looks like that'd be a lot of fun. So maybe there were 45,000 people there, but still loud at times. And obviously, you still have the altitude of 7,200 feet above sea level, which I knew it was over a mile high. I forgot it was 7,200 feet up. That's pretty high.
So quick aside, the PGA Tour has a tournament. They play a World Golf Championship down in Mexico City. And so guys who hit the golf ball far already, like a Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka, or these guys literally have to adjust their golf game because their 330-yard drives carry like 395 yards down. So
they have to think about,
it's math.
I've hit it too far. You'll think, oh, I can't be too long here. And it's like, no, actually you could. That's crazy. Even for PGA guys, that's crazy. So yeah, just a weird place to play sports, but we do it every so often and we know about it. the U.S. national team knows about it too. And that's why there were comments from Greg Berhalter before this game saying, look, you've got a must win regardless almost of what happens at Estadio Azteca. You have a must win game against Panama at home. Cannot, yeah. You have to get three full points out of that in Orlando on Sunday. No questions asked. Should it be in your thought process to maybe bring out the B team and say, we'll see what happens. We'll try to, you know, duck and cover. Hope we get a lucky goal, or maybe we can get out of there with a tie. Mm-hmm. But we're not trying to do anything too super. We're going to save our best guys and not put them at risk for Sunday.
And I think that would have been an okay strategy. I wouldn't have hated that strategy, actually, as a U.S. men's national team fan. Would you?
No, here's the thing that really sucked, because I saw this after the game yesterday. You had some people that were like, wow, I admire Greg Berhalter for going for it, but now all these guys aren't going to be available, and I don't know how they're going to do it against Panama. And it's like, well, do you admire him for going for it? Because that's the risk, right? Yep. You had guys on yellow card accumulations. If they get one more yellow, they're out.
DeAndre Yedlin, out.
Yep. Tim Weah, out. Like, those are big losses, especially given who's already out for all the other, you know, injury-related concerns you have with Sergiño Dest, Brendan Aaronson. So not great to lose guys of that caliber. But I'm with you. I would rather see Greg Berhalter not look at Mexico and say, we don't think we can beat this team, so let's just pack it in. I like going for it and trying to get the historic win there. And it didn't result in a loss. It didn't result in, like, significant injuries to anybody. And you got some good play out of it. You just didn't get the goals you wanted, because
you could have.
Oh, my God. Oh, I was so frustrated when Christian Pulisic missed that shot.
I was up off my couch. I screamed when that through ball came in. Supply ball came in.
Beautiful.
I'm like, this is it. This is going to be it. Here it is, 1-0. Going to go up before halftime. It's going to be great.
Can you imagine how angry everybody in that stadium would have been if Christian Pulisic pulls the trigger and actually gets that one to go in?
Buries that bad boy.
And then runs the corner and probably is just talking all his mess and everything else. That would have been quite a scene, but it didn't happen because he blew the chance. And they were like, is he hurt? And it's like, no, yeah, his soul. In his soul, it's just been crushed.
After he put the ball off of Ochoa's chest, he just rolled in shame.
Yeah.
And then rolled into Ochoa, and Ochoa kind of goes down, tries to sell that as a foul, and Pulisic's down there yelling at the ground and everything. I'm with you. That was hurt pride, is what that was. I will say this, though. I think it's a great job out of Ochoa on that stop, because how many times have you seen, and if you look at the save, I mean, he kind of keeps his body a little bit compact. He's not, because when you're taught as a goalie, you know, guys encroaching on your box, you want to get as wide as you can, you know, enough space. You're dipping, you're ducking, you're bending all different ways to take up as much surface area. I think Ochoa was so uncertain to where that ball was going to go, or at least in my mind, this is how I'm processing it, that how many times do you see, like, ball off an arm or off a leg and it slips
it
through
still
or slips
in,
over?
Yeah.
Like, I think it was a pretty good job for him to stay compact on that.
He kept his arms at his side so that it couldn't, like, squeeze past him like that, like you're talking about. And he did stop it kind of with his right side a little bit, with his arm being tucked in there. Maybe he doesn't make that stop if he's got his hands, you know, all the way spread out. That's a good point by you. And he played pretty well. I mean, it's crazy that he's as old as he is now, because I always think of him still as, like, their bright young future at goalkeeper. And it's like, no, that was 10 years ago, man. That guy's, you know, long in the tooth now. But he put in a vintage performance for sure.
He's
he played 36 well.
36 years old.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I still think of him as and he still kind of looks pretty young, you know, like, he doesn't look like an older guy. But yeah, he has been doing it for a long time. He's been their keeper for a while. And he's still got something that he can do, still bring something to the table, but
you still got to put that chance in.
Yeah, you got to finish that. It's not all credit to him aside. Like, Pulisic is a world-class goal scorer, plays for a team where he now suddenly is playing like himself again. Mm-hmm. And that's one that is why America has hope in this national team, is that you have guys like Christian Pulisic in the Estadio Azteca in a big moment like that. They are not going to put it wrong. And he did. He flat out just completely biffed one of the best chances we've ever had to beat Mexico at Estadio Azteca.
Yeah, and it's pretty wild to comprehend. Like, this is the kid now, man, right? You're the face of the national team.
You are.
Like, and for people who aren't necessarily into every World Cup qualifier, or were just tuned in for that, or will just tune in for the World Cup when America plays, they're going to know one guy, and it's going to be Christian Pulisic. That's going to be the guy that everybody knows. In that situation where you are deemed the golden boy of an era, and you have all this praise around you and hype surrounding you, you got to put that in the net, man.
Of course you do.
You have to put that in the net. You are the brightest star on this team. I know he's going to be regretting it. I'm sure he said some stuff after the game. It was an unfortunate for him that he couldn't slip it to one of the sides of Ochoa, but you've got to bury that opportunity. Think about this. Fast forward. If the U.S. gets into the World Cup.
Right.
They somehow, you know, group stage game, need a goal, late in the game, whatever. Ball like that comes to Christian Pulisic if he misses that. Like, I don't want to see that do anything for his confidence.
Well, right. I mean, it. I'm sure he's been there as a soccer player where he's had chances that he's missed and has had to come over that and learn. And that, I think, is the good thing with him going to Chelsea and dealing with the English press and everything else there, him being the most high-profile American player in the world. No doubt he has, and we heard about it, how the pressure got to him and it caused him to kind of go into a shell and he wasn't looking like himself. Now he's playing like himself again, at least. This miss aside, the way that he plays is back. Like, he's back to being that excellent spacer. He's back to being a great connector.
Taking on defenders, too. I like to see that last night.
Yes. So I know there will be, like, the hardcore tactician guy, so it'll be like, but you're ignoring everything else he does well. No, I'm not. I know he does everything else well. I know this team doesn't look nearly as good with him out of the lineup. He came in and had a chance to bury Mexico. I know it's first half. Who knows how the second half goes if they're going into the locker room 1-0. Totally changes your tactics, totally changes Greg's tactics. I get all that. You had a great chance to let all their fears come over them and see how they responded. And we just couldn't finish it off. That's frustrating, but it's not to undercut as good of a player as he is, and I still have a lot of faith in him as a player. It just, we can't say it sucked. I, on Twitter, went so far as to say Jossie would have buried that. And, of course, then people were like, oh, apparently somebody didn't watch the game this past
week.
That's
the joke!
That's the joke, morons! Come on! I know! Yes, I was just doing it to upset all the Jossie haters on U.S. Twitter, on U.S. soccer Twitter, that too. Which, by the way, U.S. soccer Twitter.
It's a very vitriolic
place. It may be the most
toxic.
Is vitriolic
a word?
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's correctly applied here. It is one of the most toxic places on the internet. So,
you know the song Toxicity by System of a Down?
Yeah.
Basically it. Serge Tankian and just screaming at you.
It definitely is. All right, so they go into halftime. I went to bed. You stayed up.
I did.
Give me more of your impressions when they came out of the locker room, what you saw in the second half. Because from what I watched of it, I got the impression that they still came out looking for 3 points.
They did.
Until about 15 minutes to go.
Yeah, they did. And so you made a couple of subs in the, I think, right on the 60th minute. Gio Reyna came in, which was great.
But we'll talk. We can talk about him.
Okay.
Listen.
That's another conversation to have. I thought first 15 minutes was kind of the same. You're feeling each other out. And then you make the sub as well. PFIC comes in. He also has another great opportunity. That's not the one that we talked about earlier. I'm sure we will get to that missed opportunity as well.
Let's talk about that, too, because of the two chances, Pulisic is a doorstep. You got to finish it.
Yep.
The problem with Jordan Pefik's chance there was it looked like a defender clearing the ball very safely. Like, it did not look like a guy who was actively trying to put that on net, and I know he just mishit it. He was trying
happens
to like
all the time. Best in the world do that.
And he's
Timo
running.
Werner is an expert in that.
Yeah, he is. And he's running full speed, trying to get on the end of that one. That was expertly again. Gio Reyna, man, that dude getting him back, getting him some looks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's gonna be great when he's fully good and ready to go, and we can get him for the majority of the time that he's as a starter. You're going to have him out there getting 70, 80 minutes, you would hope, soon. But the ball he sends across the box there, at the time he has to do it, he has no time. Yep. He's just got to put it spot on, and he does. And PFIC just completely blows it. Now, he's been playing well for Young Boys of Switzerland, right? I believe that's who he plays for. Mm-hmm. Plays, has scored a lot of goals for them. It's not like he isn't a talented goal scorer, too. I think this is a good reminder to everyone when people look at the Cristiano Ronaldos of the world, the Robert Lewandowskis of the world, and sometimes we get jaded to those guys because they too have misses like this. They too have games where you're like, wow, how did that guy miss that goal? That's crazy. It helps you understand what an Erling Haaland actually is and how good these guys are, where they do have those chances more often than not and they don't miss them in those big moments. That level of class is just, that's where we need to go next as a soccer nation, is developing the world-class goal scorer talent that we've had it in the past. Brian McBride was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. He certainly was a world-class goal scorer. Landon Donovan, pretty good in front of the net, last I checked. Clint Dempsey. I mean, we've had guys. We just didn't have many of them on the field right. We have all these guys who are very good at getting in the final third. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Reyna can become that guy because he seems like he's so good at everything else he does. Maybe he can become the guy that is just the best touch of anyone there.
If you're having a futures bet, put a lot of eggs in the carton of Gio Reyna.
I'm with you on that, dude.
I mean, I know that there's a clip, obviously, from the game last night circling social media of the run that he made and just destroyed four Mexican defenders and midfielders.
Dazzling.
It's like, oh, my God, he's ball string, foot. Like, he's just doing whatever he wants. Defenders falling over left and right. And unfortunately, my biggest takeaway from that is, like, there was no support when he was doing that. Nobody else is running, like, with him to try to get open.
Sometimes, it's not often, but sometimes I feel like the young players in soccer, and especially the young American players on the national team at times, I feel like sometimes they get caught up in, like, the FIFA video game culture where they're like, wow, look at him go. And it's like, no, this is, you're in. Like, you don't look at him. You make the run you always make. You ignore the fact that he's doing that.
That's going to look sick on Instagram later.
Yes, it's like, wow, this is really awesome. I can't believe I'm on the field for this. Like, get on the other end of it so he has someone to pass to. But, yeah, and he got a little buried as well, I think, because he just had his head down. And that's fine. The class is there. Did you see the comparisons? Multiple people making the connection. They said that run reminded them of a guy in the 86 World Cup, which was played in that very same stadium, where he made quite a bit of a run. This guy named Diego Maradona for Argentina made a similar type of dazzling run. Now, of course, that one ended in a goal, and he made lots of runs like that in his career. But Gio Reyna getting the Maradona comparisons,
that's pretty lofty.
That's heavy stuff,
I don't know,
man.
If I can get there.
No, but that run was reminiscent of something he would have done at a young age like that, making everyone miss and look like they were all just playing in, I don't know, beer league soccer, and he was a real professional. That was special, man. That was something to see. You're right. Where was everybody else on that? Let's not all just stand there and pose for Instagram about it. Let's get there and make that a real thing.
Another takeaway for me, just in the second half, like, you know, there were a couple of breakdowns in defense in the first half. Second half, kind of the same way. I thought overall, like, Zach Steffen on the night wasn't that busy. But when he needed to be there, he was. It's good to see him back in the lineup because remember it the last cup qualifying cycle that we had
the
a year,
back injuries.
He had the injuries and he wasn't able to go. So getting to see him obviously return to a little bit of form. I think Ochoa was working a little bit harder than Steffen last night. Better opportunities came to us. I thought the defense and all played pretty well. I know that the two misses are going to get the headlines and like we should draw points out of this game.
A shutout in Estadio Azteca should not go unnoticed.
Yeah.
Mexico had one of their worst expected goals games that they've had this entire qualifying cycle against this defense. Now you could say maybe that's Mexico's tactics not being right, but
I had a couple opportunities too, which were scary. Some bad touches and some bad balls, but
yeah. I think Tata Martino is known for being all right at tactics. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, completely an idiot there. I mean, he's obviously had his struggles with this Mexico squad.
I'd imagine there's a lot of pressure on him.
Oh, there's a ton of pressure on him.
There's a ton of pressure on Greg Berhalter.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, rightfully so.
I mean, did you see the intro that CBS had put together for that game? Like at the right. I mean, they nailed it, man. It's big for the U.S. It is huge for Mexico every time. It always is. But now you've got, for U.S. soccer fans, it's become, you know, the biggest thing that we look forward to every 4 years outside of the World Cup. It's mm-hmm. these two qualifiers against Mexico. And the U.S. can say this. They took 4 points off Mexico this qualifying cycle.
I think at the beginning of the cycle, as we entered the hex, if we came to you and said, U.S. fans, you're going to get 4 points out of Mexico, take it, or randomizer, I'll give you 180 minutes to get more points, what would you do? I think 4 points, everybody would sign up. Every day of the week.
Everybody would sign up for
that. It's disappointing coming off of it because it's so fresh and the way the game panned out.
Yeah.
But 4 points against that team in which you've had horrible performances and underwhelmed against worse teams, especially what happened last cup cycle, I'm not going to get into that, but you'll take it to the bank every time.
Let's not talk about how many points we got against Canada, who is now the true juggernaut of CONCACAF, but
just as whatever. Everybody predicted.
Just as we all thought they
told
would.
Told you, Alfonso Davies, got to watch out for him, even though he's not playing.
Yeah, that's right. He is good when he is playing. So here's where it all stands after all the results the other night. Canada is still sitting on 25 points. USA now on 22. Mexico tied at 22, but USA has the goal differential 9-6.
Yep.
Plus 9 to plus 6. That's good for the U.S. Costa Rica jumps ahead of Panama with their surprise victory yesterday. 19 points now. 3 back of the USA and Mexico. I said this last time we were talking about it. Don't sleep on Costa Rica. They're not dead until they're dead. And they are very much alive in this thing right now. Panama on 18 points. So
5-team race.
5-team race for 3 real spots and then a playoff spot.
Don't want any part of that.
Nope. I don't either. I do not either. So here's what you've got this weekend. Canada plays Jamaica at home, and then they're at Panama.
Okay.
The U.S., of course, plays Panama at home and at Costa Rica.
Oof.
Mexico at Honduras and El Salvador at home. Should be at least 4 out of that for them. So I'm going to – I mean, if not 6, I mean, they should pencil themselves into like 26 points is what I'm going to say for them. Okay. And then you've got Costa Rica at El Salvador. Should be 3 points for Costa Rica. That put them on 22, tied with the U.S. And then they've got the game with us to wrap up at Costa Rica, too.
By the way,
it's not a cakewalk there.
I don't know if I'm 1,000% factually correct in saying this, but I think I did see it the other day that the U.S. in World Cup qualifying has never gotten a result in Costa Rica. Is that correct?
That can't be right. That can't be right that they've never gotten a result. I mean, I know it's tough to play there, and a lot of times they play on AstroTurf or whatever field turf that they play on sometimes at Saprissa Stadium, but I can't imagine that's – there has to have been – they have to have gotten a tie at least. I feel like that's not right.
I don't know. I thought – I mean, everything you see on Twitter is 100% real life. So.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, it's definitely not – I'll put it this way. Whatever the actual stat is, I want no part of needing a point to get into the World Cup in that game. But here's the reality. U.S. has to beat Panama Sunday. That puts the U.S. on 25 points. Then the max Costa Rica can get is 25. So Mexico can still get 26. And we know that's, you know, barring something crazy happening, they're probably going to get to either 26 or 28. So they've probably got second locked up. We've got to be third. Now, goal differential for the U.S. versus Costa Rica, U.S. is plus 9, Costa Rica plus 2.
Okay.
So as long as Costa Rica doesn't score like, I don't know, 7 goals on us or whatever it'd have to be in that final game, let's hope that the U.S. can see out like a 0-0 tie against Costa Rica. But they're going to be, I mean, they're going to be going for it. Costa Rica will be. Panama hopefully gets eliminated from all serious contention by us on Sunday. But that's it. It all comes down to Panama Sunday. I'm sick to my stomach because it's another... I don't want to hear anybody reassure me anything. I don't want to hear from anybody. Like last time, I was like, all we got to do is go down to Trinidad and Tobago.
That's it.
I don't want to hear anything about it. I just want to hear about a win Sunday evening. That's what I want to hear about. And then we'll let all that fall where it may. But
I don't think that was factually accurate in what I said.
I thought that had to be wrong. There's no way that could be right. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Some problems for Italy. We will point and laugh nervously so that hopefully the U.S. doesn't go through the same thing. You're listening to Bone and Beam United, brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village. Welcome back to Bone and Beam United, brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village. So we talked about the U.S. chances of qualifying for the World Cup. Last go around, we know the U.S. did not make it in. Neither, though, did Italy. And I feel like as much as the U.S. not making it is a big story for us, the bigger story around the world was Italy not making it to the World Cup, right? I mean, that's something that's not tolerated. But Italy thought they'd figured it out, right? Roberto Mancini was brought in. They were able to win the Euros.
Win the Euros.
They won the World Cup of Europe, where all the good World Cup teams are. So you think, oh, well, they've corrected all their problems. Then they go out in the World Cup qualifying.
That was 8 months ago. That was 8 months ago where they beat England in a penalty shootout at Wembley.
8 months ago. Then they are in a spot where they need to either tie or beat North Macedonia to be able to continue on in qualifying. Would that have officially locked them in? Or they just would have continued?
They would have continued. They would have gone to a playoff.
Okay.
Another playoff.
Right. So in this game, I want to give you this stat because I find it to be mind-bending. Italy had 32 shots on goal. 32! This is not hockey.
This is not total shots either.
Shots at goal! 32!
There's 90 minutes in a game. Quick math on that, one every 3 minutes.
North Macedonia, to compare, had 5.
Mm.
But it's not like their goalkeeper was making save after save after, like, crazy save. This was not Tim Howard versus Belgium. This was mostly just a lot of weak routine chances right at the goalkeeper. Not a lot of work he had to do. And so it looked like they were going to see this out. They had 4 minutes of stoppage time left.
Yep.
In stoppage time, though, Alexander Trajkovski.
My guy.
Who I don't know how to say his name, but I know how to watch that goal because it was
out of nowhere, too.
It was one of those, yes, where the keeper sends it forward. The guy who I just said didn't have to do a whole lot, even though he had 32 shots against him. He kicks it 70 yards upfield. Couple guys knock it around. It ends up at whatever his name is.
Alexander Trajkovski's,
yes. He ended up at his feet. He takes a couple touches, and then from outside the 18, unleashes a left footer that curls around the goalkeeper and in. Out of nowhere. Out of absolutely nothing, like you said. And then you see all the Italy players just...
Oh, they crumbled.
They did. They knew what it meant. They knew it was over. They knew, yes, you've got time. You got to come back and score a goal, but no way you're doing that at that point. And it's stoppage time, and they did not. And they are out of the World Cup for the second time in a row.
Bone, it has been since 2014 since we have last seen them in a World Cup. It will be until 2026.
It'll be 12 years. The next time
that they could, let alone missing it for the third straight time, the next time they could potentially make a World Cup, Italy, the team who just won the Euros 8 months ago.
Sitting at home.
12 years. Now, let me ask you this question. Because I saw, I think, ESPN FC tweet this hypothetical out. If it meant your team not being in the World Cup for 12 years,
right,
would you take an international tournament in that stead?
No.
Well, because ours is a little bit different.
Because the U.S. did that and could... I don't think I'm wrong in saying that the U.S. missed the World Cup, won the Gold Cup. I mean, hopefully not going to miss the World Cup this time, but could.
By the way, I found the stat, 0-9-2 all time in Costa Rica.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah, have never won a game.
Never won a game in Costa Rica. That does not surprise me, but never getting a result. I thought they would have gotten a result a couple times. Okay. Anyway, so this is for Italy, to go back to them for a second. And I guess we shouldn't take away from North Macedonia. Credit to them.
Our man Zoran, by the way, had himself a day.
I know longtime crew fan Christina Belevska. I know she's a big fan. She is obviously a big North Macedonian fan of Macedonian descent, so let her live. I'm sure everybody rooting for that team is thrilled, and that should be a great story. And it is. It's a fantastic story for them. Because
the best part about in the locker room afterwards, too, because they will play Portugal in the next round of the playoffs to get into the World Cup, they issued a warning to Cristiano Ronaldo. They said, no. Just wait until you play us, buddy. We just took down the Italians.
That's right.
You don't think we can handle the Portuguese?
Yeah, no kidding, man.
I love it. Good for them.
They should feel all that right now.
Yes, they should.
And this is on Tuesday where they will play that game for the spot in Qatar on the line. How about Giorgio Cannellini and him too? I don't know why I said that.
Giorgio Cannellini.
Why did I say that? Giorgio Chiellini. Yes. Yep. Him too. where he said, the quote he had was, "I'm proud of my teammates. We're all destroyed and broken, but we have to start again. At the moment, it's difficult to talk about it. It will remain a great hole. Also, I'm 73 years old. How am I still playing soccer?" He then said, "I hope that the coach will stay because he's essential for this team. Now we have to return to winning, go to the Euros, and in 4 years' time, return to this blessed World Cup." You're not going to be returning to this blessed World Cup, right?
Maybe. You look at how old he is. I mean, there's not going to be much gas left in the tank when it comes back around for three more years of Giorgio Chiellini or Cannellini, depending on how you say it.
I don't know where that came from. I will say this,
maybe you're hungry. I don't know.
Maybe. I will add this. Can you imagine, let's say they qualify for, I mean, they should, because 48 teams going next time, right? That's the other thing we didn't say about USA-Mexico. That's the last time that you're going to have the chance.
8 years.
No, it's the last time you're going to have the chance in Estadio Azteca to have probably a qualifier that matters for the U.S. Because there, I can't see a scenario when they go to 48 where the U.S. and Mexico are duking it out.
Aren't we going to another like qualifying system for that?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It'll be a different qualifying system. And obviously next time around, we don't have to qualify because it's being hosted by both countries. Right. So that's the next time there's anything on the line that would even remotely come close. Maybe never, but it's certainly not going to be for 8 years. Italy probably gets into the next World Cup just on sheer volume of teams that are going to be there. What do you think the tickets are going to be like for Italy's return to the World Cup and it's in the United States?
Oh, God.
Right? Like, they put that in New York City. Just the people of Italian descent here that will want to say, I'm at this game.
Across the country.
Right,
wherever.
Across the country. But
let alone
I mean,
coming over from Italy.
Yes, and then you'll have plenty of people who will say, I want to fly wherever they're going. Oh, it's America. It's super easy for us to get there. It's you know, a country we're familiar with, most likely. Yeah, I mean, I would think you're going to have a ton of people. Those tickets are going to be insane. But you can save up from this cycle because you're not going. Hopefully the U.S. is.
I just have to. What do you think that stadium was like?
Oh, I
mean, it was obvious
imagine.
They were deflated. Like, the stadium was like a giant balloon popped, and, like, there was no noise at all. And, by the way, I love the North Macedonian celebration. Whole team out of the field, coaches, everybody out there going crazy. Like,
of
that was
course.
Great.
That's the way it should be.
But just to beat Italy and to have won a serious major tournament less than a year ago, and for you to miss out on not one World Cup is an issue.
It's yes, but you could chalk it up to we just missed a few guys or we
whatever. I don't remember the storyline 4 years ago when they're trying to qualify for the World Cup in Russia.
Right.
2 years in a row, or not 2 years,
two cycles in a row.
That's a big time disappointment, man.
It is. And I mean, the amount of what ifs that are going to go through people's heads, right? Because you had guys who had chances throughout that could have done something to where not just in this game. I mean, I know I said they had, 74 shots or whatever it was that they had.
194.
But yeah, they had a lot of shots, but they had, like a penalty, at least a couple penalties, I want to say, in qualifying.
Yeah.
That if those get made, they have chances to go ahead without even being in this playoff spot. So for that to happen as well, like, just all the guys that are going to rue the chances they had that they didn't take. You know, they're going to live with this for the rest of their lives.
That's hard. That is tough to live with.
Yeah. We had some, as we've been recording this, some technical difficulties. We were going to talk a little bit more about Champions League and some of this other stuff. We'll have to table some of that. I think we'll get back to it next week because the time issues happened during the podcast while we were recording. So
you know what?
Cut
it's
out
crazy.
Some of our recording time.
Podcast magic. You never even know what happened.
I know you don't know what happened, but it took some of our time. So we didn't get to everything today, but promise we will continue to have more discussions 2 weeks when we come back with the World episode of Bone & Beam United. Next week, we'll get back to talking crew stuff.
Before we go, Sunday, 7 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
Panama at home, Orlando.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Just how are you feeling? It's Friday morning right now. We're, a little more than 48 hours away, 56 hours, 57 hours away from the game. How are you feeling about it? Just going in.
I feel like Christian Pulisic will want redemption. I feel like Gio Reyna got a little taste and is going to be hungry. I feel like there are plenty of guys still, like Tyler Adams, like a thing we didn't even get into, but Tyler Adams – avoided a yellow card. He's good. He can go.
What a nice guy he seems to be.
He's a tremendous talent, and yes, a nice guy too. I feel like you will get the right effort from this group. I think they all know what's at stake. And here's, I guess, the other takeaway. You had so much pressure on this team ever since they missed the World Cup last time. Last time was almost for a lot of these guys that are now being counted on. They're more or less like, well, it would have been nice if Christian Pulisic could have done that all himself, but it's more the guy's faults ahead of him who didn't get it done. That's kind of where
it's
I think.
It's not our fault.
Right. Now it is all on you. You guys know you're the next generation. It is now. This is your time. You're hungry about missing that World Cup. I think you are going to see a focused, determined, balls-to-the-wall type of performance from this team. And I would not be surprised if they beat Panama by 2 goals.
Ooh. Like,
I'm saying, I know Panama
Whoa.
Knows the same thing, but I'm confident that this team has the right pieces in place and they're going to come out and play the right way. They are not going to be overconfident. They are not going to assume it's an easy 3 points. They're going to come out and give you their best game. I really genuinely believe that. So, yeah, I'm going to say they win 3-1. I'll say it's a big 3-1 win.
I'm scared shitless of this game. We're being honest.
That's fine. I
can imagine in my
the
in
nerves
my mind,
are there for me too. I'm not denying the nerves. I'm just if you ask me to bet on what would happen, I think when the chips are down, I think this team is going to respond. I think they're going to find a way to respond. And I can't believe I'm saying that after Christian Pulisic, one of the guys that just said is going to have a big game, biffed one of the biggest chances we've ever had to knock Mexico off in Mexico.
I am picturing in my mind it's 82nd minute, it's 0-0. On Sunday.
Oh, God, I hope you're wrong.
With
but
Costa Rica
I know what you
like
mean.
That's,
I know.
I'm kind of there.
I know what you mean.
I'm kind of there. We shouldn't have talked trash about the Italians.
No. I don't even know if we were talking. We were just saying the truth. We were just saying what happened.
We're just
pointing out what happened. And you know what? If it happens to us, we'll cancel our plans for crew coverage and we'll go back to what the hell? How are we not in the World Cup? Here's the crazy
Bunch
thing.
Of pampered tattoo millionaires.
That's right, Alexi Lawless. By the time we record the next podcast, we'll know whether or not we have a World Cup to go to.
Oh, God. That's a terrifying, terrifying proposition.
Oh, man.
Yeah, think about that. 5 days' time, we're going to know.
I'll say this. If they don't win against Panama, I have no confidence in anything.
By the way, I still think they're up for I don't know what they're called, but a potting seed as well in the World Cup. Like, you're still up for a one seed to technically be top of the group.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, if things fall apart for Canada, you could actually, yeah, if they go beat Panama and then get a point at Costa Rica, it's theoretically possible, but
I'm not
banking on anything, my friend. I'm telling you, if you ask me to bet on it, I would bet on the U.S. winning on Sunday, and that's as far as I'll go. I'll still stick with the 3-1 score line, but I don't care what it
1-0,
is.
1-0, 88th minute goal.
If you can score a half a goal and win, and it's half a goal to nothing, I'll take that. 0.1 goal I would take. Just as long as you get over that line, you win, they lose. That's what you need. So that's it for us. Thanks to Zaftig Italian Village as well. Your home for all things soccer. When you want to go to a soccer bar, that's where you need to be. We'll be there off and on all throughout the next few months, watching soccer, of course. Hopefully we'll see you out there. Until next time, thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.